welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you broadcasts from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark LeBonier, bringing you an hour of comedy. Later on, it's the Bob Hope Show from 1953, but first, an episode of Jack Carson, a CBS broadcast from the 21st of February, 1945.
Martin and the songs of the Martin Men, fun with Arthur Treacher and Dave Willock as Tugwell, the Warner Brothers star Jack Carson. Well, folks, after an eventful trip to the mountains, Jack Carson has returned to his little house by the side of a deserted four-lane highway. But many problems have developed while Jack was away, so we bring you the one man who can tackle any problem and get thrown for a loss, Jack Carson.
Tugwell, did the mail come yet?
Yeah, and there's quite a few letters. Here's one from the telephone company.
Let me see it. This is the third and final notice. Mr. Carson, if your bill is not paid within 48 hours, we will take out your phone and give it to some deserving bookie. Signed, Mert.
Yeah, and Uncle Jack, here's one from the Bureau of Internal Revenue.
Holy smoke, let me see that. I can't understand what they're writing me. Oh, I thought so. I knew I'd overpaid my income tax. Look, Doc, well, the government has sent me a check for the entire amount that I overpaid. On your way downtown, will you have this check cashed?
Yeah. Hey, what'll I do with the money?
Buy me a Saturday Evening Post.
Gee, Uncle Jack, does everybody have to pay an income tax?
Anybody that makes money.
Well, I made a little money last year down at the beach when I sold hamburgers. Gosh, I sold about 5,000 of them. How much do you think I owe?
5,000 hamburgers? Well, let's see. Take off 20% withholding tax, 2% Social Security, 1% old age, surtax, state tax, unearned income tax.
Well, gosh, what'll I have left out of 5,000 hamburgers?
One meatball. Give me the rest of the mail. Hey, Tugwell, look. Here's a letter from my girl, Phoebe. Boy, oh boy, I bet she wants to make up with me.
Well, open it up, Uncle Jack. Let's see what she says.
I'm trying on. She says, Dear Jack, I think that the time has come to let you know how I feel about you. I must tell you that of all the men I have ever gone out with, I'm sorry to... You see, Tugwell, she's apologizing already. I'm sorry to say that you are, in my opinion, the one and only unmitigated prevaricator and self-centered roué I've known. See that, Tugwell? She's nuts about me.
Yeah, she sure is.
Hello, Treacher. Hello, baby doll.
Mr. Carson, sir, you know I can't do any work around the house. Baby doll keeps following me around with a pleading look in her eye.
Just throw her a bone, Treacher.
I'd like to, sir, but the bone she's pleading for is in my right leg.
Treacher, even if baby doll is a big Saint Bernard, she's only a puppy. I'll chain her to this table for a while. That'll keep her out of your way. Come here, baby doll. Come here while I chain you to the table. Now I chain you to the table. Now I chain you to the table. Now I... No, baby doll. I chain you to the table. Hey, Treacher, unchain me and take care of baby doll. I have an important letter I must write to my girl, Phoebe.
Well, that reminds me, sir, I met Miss Phoebe in the market this morning, and she seemed quite put out with you, sir.
Yeah, Treacher, she accused me of running around with a dance hall hostess last week. That's silly. Me running around with a dance hall hostess?
Oh, yes, sir.
Most ridiculous thing I ever heard of my life.
Oh, yes, sir. How are things at the Zender Ballroom, sir?
Never mind. Did Phoebe give you any message for me?
Oh, yes, sir. She gave you a message, all right. What resonance.
Huh? She did, eh? Yes. I'm going to straighten this out right now. Give me that phone. I'll tell her a thing or three. Four.
Hello? This is Mrs. Peabody speaking.
Hello. Hello, Mrs. Peabody. This is Jack Carson.
Oh, how things to the Zender Ballroom.
Mrs. Peabody, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never been...
Mr. Carson, you're nothing but a Milwaukee masher going around breaking young girls' hearts. I've seen you at Hollywood and Vine. You must be nearsighted, too.
Why?
You even whistled at me once.
Well, after all, Mrs. Peabody, you know a woman as pretty as yourself.
Well.
Yes. Why, nobody would ever believe a woman as young-looking as you would have a grown-up daughter like Phoebe.
Really? Do I look that young?
Well, the first time I saw you and Phoebe together, you looked like father and daughter. I mean, sister. I didn't mean
it. Oh, Mr. Carson, don't you dare ever call this house again. I don't want to speak to you, and my daughter certainly doesn't want to speak to you. So adios, muchacho.
Uncle Jack, what'd she say?
She called me a dirty name in French. Well, I don't know what to do now.
Well, Uncle Jack, you don't know how to handle women.
I don't?
No. Now, sit down. You're old enough now. It's time I had a long talk with you.
Oh, stop. Stop being silly. What can you tell me that I don't know?
Well, look, Uncle Jack, you know when you take a girl out for a walk in the park at night?
Yes.
And then you find some secluded spot and you put your arm around her?
Yeah.
And then you hug her?
Yeah.
Then you squeeze her?
Yeah.
Then you kiss her and you kiss her and you kiss her?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing with the bees.
Well, I want you to stop hanging around those pool rooms.
But, Uncle Jack, I don't hang around pool rooms. My girl Mary Jo told me that.
Your girl Mary Jo? You are going with a girl?
Well, yeah. You forget that I'm a junior in high school now.
Grown up, eh? So
yep,
you're grown up,
eh? Yep.
You got a girl, too, eh?
Yep. Let's face it, Uncle Jack. There comes a time in every young boy's life when the Lone Ranger doesn't mean a thing.
Look, Tugwell, you know, you may be able to help me patch up my trouble with my girl Phoebe at that. There's an old saying, out of the mouths of babes.
Well, that's the first thing.
What?
You got to stay away from them babes.
Well, I don't run around with any babes.
And that's the second thing.
What?
Well, you mustn't tell any lies.
I never told a lie in my life.
Well, the first thing you got to do is go over to Phoebe's house and tell her the truth about that nurse that took care of you last week.
Yeah?
And then you'll see that everything will turn out all right.
Hmm. What do you know? Imagine my little nephew guiding me along the straight and narrow.
Hey, Uncle Jack, you just follow your little nephew, Tugwell.
Where are you going, little nephew Tugwell?
To the Zender Ballroom.
Oh, Tugwell.
Freddie Martin and his orchestra in his original arrangement of Kitten on the Keys.
know, Tug, well, you were right. I mean about Fibbs getting a guy into trouble. A person would be a lot better off if he patterned his life, say, after George Washington. That was a really great man. Just think, according to the story, he threw a dollar across the Potomac River.
Carson, you know, I think it'd be noble of you to emulate George Washington.
Uncle Jack, are you really going to turn over a new leaf and tell the truth?
Yes, and beginning right away. I'm going over to Phoebe's now and tell her the truth about everything.
Everything?
Yes.
Even that you go to Mabel's beauty shop on Friday?
Well, Preacher, when I wash my hair, Mabel is the only one who can do a thing with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, since you've decided to tell the truth, sir, now seems like a good time for me to check on a few things you've told me.
What, for instance?
Did you really put out the Chicago fire single-handed?
No, not single-handed.
Well, were you even a fireman?
No, but I stood by ready and willing with my water pistol. Well, I'm going over to Phoebe. See you later, fellas. Gee, I'm glad I made this decision. Oh, hello. Hello, Mrs. Martin. Hello, Freddie.
Hello, Jack.
My, you seem happy, Mr. Carson.
Oh, I am, Mrs. Martin.
I'm happy, too. I was a good boy all last week, and today I got my reward.
You did?
Yeah, my wife let me look in my pay envelope.
Freddie.
Excuse me, lover. Actually, the real reason I'm in good sports is because you are looking at a new Carson. From now on, I'm going to be as honest as the day is long. Of course, that's with daylight saving time.
What brought all this on?
George Washington. From now on, I'm going to tell everybody the truth.
Really? What do you think of my new hat?
You want the truth?
Yes.
Well, it looks like a plate of spaghetti with a snap brim.
You can't insult me like that.
No, not like that.
Freddie!
Excuse me, powder pigeon.
Well, whether you like my hat or not, Mr. Carson, I am considered the height of fashion.
Yeah, do you remember the Easter parade last year, Dad?
What about it?
Well, Harper's Bazaar paid her $5 an hour to stay home.
Ready.
Excuse me, my little artichoke.
Artichoke. That reminds me, Freddie, you've got some punishment coming.
Oh, no, I've done the housework today.
It's none of my business, Freddie, but you ought to stand up for your rights. Cut out all that dishwashing and cleaning. Why, the next thing you know, she'll have you rinse out her slacks.
I knew there was something I forgot.
Mr. Carson, you mind your own business. I'll take care of him.
Yeah, she'll take care of him. Oh, that's me.
Come on, Freddie.
Yes, my little avocado.
Freddie, that's ridiculous. She doesn't look like an avocado.
She does in that new girdle.
Yeah, so long. See you later. Gee, I hope Phoebe will give me a chance to explain.
Oh, it's you.
Hey, don't close the door, Phoebe. I got to talk to you. Gee, you look swell, Phoebe.
Oh, you're just trying to flatter me.
No, I'm not. No, I... Gee, that's the most beautiful dress I've ever seen.
Oh, it's nothing but a jumper.
Love those Olympic Games. Phoebe, I know you're disappointed in me. You've got a right to be, but I'm going to tell you the whole truth about those 3 days I spent up in the snow country. I was sick in bed up there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I had a doctor and a nurse. The doctor cured me of high blood pressure.
What gave you high blood pressure?
The nurse. I got a confession to make about that nurse and me, even if it means the end of us. It all happened because I'm so impetuous. There we were all alone, just her and me and the radio.
Jack, you don't
Yes,
mean...
yes, I put on her stethoscope and listened to Lum and Abner.
Jack, did she kiss you?
She kissed... Yes, Phoebe. I was in a weakened condition as she overpowered me. Phoebe, don't be angry with me. I know I've been a cad. There I was up at that inn carrying on with a girl, lounging around till 9:30 every night and drinking straight 7-Up. I'm a beast. All the while you were sitting down here hoping and trusting and waiting.
Yes, waiting for Sherman Shamelfinger.
Sherman Shamelfinger? Who's he?
He's a new boyfriend of mine, and he's a musician in Freddie Martin's orchestra.
He sounds like it. I never heard of him.
Oh, well, he told me he has a very important job. He cracks the ice when they play rum and Coca-Cola.
I don't care if he furnishes the lumber for Don't Fence Me In. I don't like... I don't like Sherman Shamelfinger.
Well, I do.
Phoebe, we can't go on like this if you've got another boyfriend besides me.
Why not? You'll just be part of a triangle. Sherman Shamelfinger is one corner of the triangle. I'm another, and you're a hypotenuse.
I am not. There's not an ounce of fat on me.
Well, I like Sherman Shamelfinger because he's romantic. Almost every night he serenades me under my window.
Oh, he does he? Now, look, Phoebe, I can do anything that Sherman Shamelfinger can do. I can even say...
You know, this is silly coming over here in the dark to serenade under Miss Phoebe's window.
Well, if Sherman Shamelfinger can do it, so can I. Now, baby doll, be quiet. Just because we brought you along, it don't make a lot of noise. Preacher, give me the key in your violin. Is it in pitch with my voice?
Oh, yes, sir. I tuned it flat.
Preacher, Jack Benny never sounded good on the violin till now.
I'm a little on the lonely, a little on the lonely side. I keep thinking of you only and wishing you were by my side. You know, my dear, when you're not here, there's no one to romance with. So if I'm seen with someone else, it's just someone to dance with. Every letter that you send me, I read a dozen times or more. Any wonder that I love you more and more? How I miss your tender kiss and long to hold you tight. I'm a little on the lonely side tonight.
Baby doll, baby doll, baby doll.
Just a minute, break it up, break it up.
What's going on?
What?
Here?
What is it, officer?
So you're the guy who's been causing all the racket, eh? Don't you know it's a misdemeanor to create a disturbance?
Now look, officer, I happen to be Jack Carson.
Ignorance is no excuse. You're under arrest.
Good night, sir.
Hey, Treacher, come back here. He's going to put me in jail. Do something, Treacher.
I will, sir. I'll go down to the post office and tell them your new zone number.
Magistrates Court, 4th District, State of California is now in session.
Gosh, Treacher, my case comes up next.
Be calm, sir. I followed your instructions, and I have all the neighbors here to testify.
Good. Did you have any trouble getting character witnesses?
Oh, no, sir. They all know you're a character.
Mm. Gosh, I wonder how I will come out in this trial.
Oh, don't worry, sir. When I get on the stand, I'm going to tell them that you're a fine, honest, upstanding citizen, a distinguished gentleman, and a paragon of virtue.
Why, Treacher, I'm deeply touched. That's downright loyalty.
That's downright perjury.
Oh. Did you tell Freddie Martin what to say when he gets on the stand?
Yes, sir. It's all fixed.
See, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me. I feel just like a criminal.
The next case is the people of California versus Jack Carson.
Golly, are all the people in California against me?
Oh, yes, sir. Including two people from Roxbury, Massachusetts, who didn't like you anyway.
Defendant, step forward and raise your right hand.
Okay.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
So help me, Martha.
What's your name?
Jack Carson. Some chicken gumbo.
Well, behave yourself here or you'll be right back in the can. Where do you live?
At 202 West Chestnut Street in a house.
Any vacancies?
Court's in session.
Yes, Judge.
Where's my glasses? Anybody seen my glasses? Never mind. Clerk, read a charge against the defendant.
Yes, Your Honor. I quote from the report. At 9 o'clock last night, a person was apprehended prowling and skulking in the vicinity of Chestnut Street. He is a habitual neighborhood nuisance, a disturber of the peace, and has all the earmarks of a criminal. That person is Jack Carson.
Just a minute. You're speaking of the man I love.
We will proceed with the case. Wish I could find my glasses. Can't even see your face.
You ain't missing anything, Judge.
Great guy. Your Honor, if the court pleases, I'll act as my own counselor, and I'll call as my first witness my fiancée's mother, Mrs. Archibald Peabody.
How do you do, Mr. Carson?
How do you do, Mrs. Peabody? Sit right down in the witness chair.
My, that's quite a broad seat, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can squeeze it in. Mrs. Peabody, this is the judge.
Oh, how do you do?
So, you're the young lady's mother.
Yes. Did you expect an older woman?
I don't think there is an older woman. Miss Peabody, just what is your opinion of the defendant, Jack Carson?
Oh, I think he's a soul of sweetness and graciousness.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere.
In fact, just the other day, Mr. Carson told me he thought I had all the loveliness and charm of a picture by a well-known artist.
Really?
Yes. Who is Gravel Gertie?
Thank you, Mrs. Peabody. I have another witness, Your Honor, Mr. Freddie Martin, a man whose integrity is unquestioned. A lovable, irresistible personality who has won his way into thousands of hearts.
What is he, a streetcar conductor?
Ready for me now, Jack?
Yeah, Freddie, you just sit down there. And don't forget what I told you about what to say about the Forest Mansion of Madison.
Well, don't worry, Jack. I remember.
Just a minute. Is the testimony you're about to give absolutely unrehearsed and of your own free will?
Oh, sure.
And you received no coaching on it?
Oh, no. No.
Go ahead, Freddie. Tell the court what you think about Jack Carson.
Well, Your Honor, I have known Jack Carson for a number of years, and he has always been fair and honest, semicolon. Pause here and look at the judge with earnest expression.
No, Freddie, no.
Just a minute. Are you sure that this testimony hasn't been rehearsed?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. Turn fully around and look the judge right in the eye.
That's a Freddie.
In my opinion, Jack Carson is one of nature's most noble creatures. He just couldn't be guilty of this crime. Brush away a tear with your right hand.
Freddie!
You can go now.
Okay. Oh, I almost forgot something.
What?
Period.
Carson, there's no use continuing this hearing. You're wasting the court's time.
Now, wait a minute, Your Honor. I have something to say in my own behalf. Look at me. A clean-cut citizen born in Milwaukee.
Oh, underprivileged, eh?
Milwaukee cradled me. Milwaukee was my mother. And on the day I left, she was so sad, her beer flowed like wine.
I'm sorry, Carson. You wasted enough time here, and the court has to adjourn.
Why does the court have to adjourn?
Because at 12 o'clock, the drugstore across the street starts selling cigarettes. I can find my glasses.
Your Honor, can I even present one more witness? My fiancée, Phoebe Peabody.
No.
But, Judgey, I'm the next witness.
Absolutely not.
Just look at her, Judge. A lovely, beautiful sweater girl.
That's irrelevant immaterial and...
Have a. Well, what do you think, Your Honor?
Case is dismissed.
Dismissed? You mean I'm free?
Yep. According to my interpretation of the law in this case, the premeditation of the misdemeanor was invalidated by the Ripple Evan of the jurisprudence. Consequently, you cannot be prosecuted for anything you did to win in favor of this gorgeous, luscious creature.
Well, that's wonderful, but how did you arrive at your decision?
I found my glasses. Yes.
Jack Carson inviting you to be with us again next week. And we're very happy to be able to tell you that this program is being rebroadcast overseas to the men and women in the services through the Armed Forces Radio Service.
The Jack Carson Show on Tuned to Yesterday from February 21st, 1945, a CBS episode. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVillier. Movie actress Terry Moore is probably best known for her role as Jill Young in the 1949 movie Mighty Jill Young, the story of a young girl whose pet gorilla gets so big it gets swooped up by a Hollywood promoter. The film was released about 4 years before this next broadcast of The Bob Hope Show, in which she guest stars alongside Bing Crosby, from January 14, 1953, on NBC.
The Bob Hope Show, transcribed direct from Fort Ord, California, with Les Brown and his band of renown. Our special guests, Terry Moore and Bing Crosby. And here he is, Bob Hope. Much. Here we are at Fort Ord near Monterey, California, for the boys of our armed forces. Boy, they've treated us beautifully up here. I'm also up here to play in the Bing Crosby Invitational Golf Tournament at Pebble Beach. It's a very exclusive affair. To get in, you have to have your own ball. Bing surveyed the whole nation for a golf course. Then he selected the Pebble Beach Golf Course at Cypress Point on the Pacific Ocean. He owns all three. Bing not only runs the tournament, he also plays in it, but there's no favoritism. The rest of us still have a chance to win second or third prize. Crosby out in the golf course is quite a sight. I don't know where he gets those clothes. I think he throws away the laundry and wears the bag. And with his figure, he's right. The other day, Crosby put on a collar and tie, but it was a mistake. An MP arrested him for being out of uniform. But a lot of famous people have played in this tournament up here. 2 years ago, Phil Harris won it. He came out of fifth ahead of everybody else. And last year, I would have won the tournament except for one stroke. They caught me erasing it. But I can't tell you how wonderful it is to be up here at Fort Ord. That's what I say. And if you were wearing this type of suit, you could say it too. it's nice to be back at my old alma mater. Yes, sir, I've been here so often, my name appears on the rolls of this camp under enemy infiltration. I really have been up here a lot of times. In fact, they still can't decide which was here first, me or the fish canneries. When the canneries are operating, the wind is real crazy up here. In fact, this is the only army camp in the country where you can get a Purple Heart for taking a deep breath. I was up here 10 years ago for a physical, but I was rejected. Doctors couldn't figure out why. When they tapped my left knee, my right leg flew up. I had my garters crossed. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet a lovely young star, Miss Terry Moore, right here.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Welcome to the show, Terry. I'm glad you were able to make the trip up here with us. Tell me, do you like this part of California?
Well, what I could see as we flew in was very impressive. Rugged cliffs, rolling hills, miles and miles of sand dunes.
Yeah, it all adds up to a wonderful place to live if you're forced into it.
Oh, now, Bob, it's really very beautiful country. After all, there's nothing like old Mother Nature.
I know. That's why I'm up here to play in his golf tournament. And, Terry, you're a comparative newcomer to the Hollywood scene, and I'm sure we'd all be interested in learning more about you. Would you like to tell us about yourself?
All right, Bob, where shall I start?
With your phone number. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Terry, that was just a slip.
Oh, it's all right. I'm sure you didn't mean anything by it.
I'm glad you're sure. Just tell us, anything you want, Terry. For example, what are your hobbies?
Well, I ride horseback, I cook, I love to knit, and I'm a licensed pilot. I fly my own plane.
What a coincidence. That's my hobby, too.
Really, Bob?
Yeah, what size needles do you knit with?
You're kidding.
What kind of a plane do you fly, honey?
A Cessna two-seater. I've got over 100 hours in the air.
No kidding. Never any trouble?
Oh, not once, Bob. As a matter of fact, I feel that I'm safer when I'm up in the air than I am when I'm on the ground.
Don't look at me.
Well, I've told you about my hobby. There's my work. You see, my big break was getting that wonderful part in Come Back, Little Sheba. It's a gripping picture with great moments of drama. It's the story of a disillusioned doctor whose love for this young girl plunges him into despair. And then in an alcoholic frenzy, he tries to murder his wife with a butcher knife.
Sounds like a sequel to Hans Christian Andersen. Terry, being in a picture that's up for an Academy Award must be quite a thrill.
Oh, it is, Bob. And, well, even a bigger thrill is being here tonight.
Really?
Oh, of course. Why, now, how many young people starting at show business get a chance to appear with one of the truly great performers?
Well, if you insist.
Well, not only a great artist, but, well, one of the most popular men in the whole world.
Oh, don't lay it on so thick, but louder.
Honestly, Bob. Bob, this is one of the great thrills of my life. To think I'm actually going to meet Bing Crosby.
I feel as though I just stepped barefoot on a Pismo Beach clam. Tell me, honey, what is this interest you have in the ragged Johnny Ray?
Oh, I've always had a great admiration for Mr. Crosby, Bob. Why, if I ever wrote a fan letter, it would be to him. He even looks like a movie star.
Yeah, I agree with you. From the front to the back, he looks like Ma and Pa Kettle. But, Terry, there's no accounting for taste. Shut the door. Everybody's getting in. Say,
what?
Just deliver the sandwiches and get lost. What do you think?
I really hate to interrupt this little father and daughter talk, but... can I put in my 2 cents worth?
When did the price go up?
Now, Robin, I'm a guest of yours here. You must extend yourself. Be a little more gracious.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cheddarhead. I just said that for a laugh.
Bob, are you you going to introduce me, or am I going to have to do it myself here?
Oh, I'm sorry. Terry, this is Bing Crosby, if you'll excuse the expression.
Certainly nice meeting you.
I happen to be one of your many fans.
There's three altogether, you and two old ladies in Glendale.
Jokes, don't you?
Oh, he's more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Yeah. There's a striking resemblance, too.
Bing, you surprised me when you called and said you were coming over tonight. What's the occasion?
Well, it's rather important, Bob.
Well, it must be. After dark, you seldom get this far from your money.
Oh, this is a serious matter. I heard this program last week, and you dramatized a very fine moving picture, which I created, and...
Wait, wait. I was in it, too.
I was about to say that. A picture which I created against overwhelming odds. But my grievance is not that you worked in that picture. You have to live, too. Although that line is likely to start a nationwide controversy, I'm sure.
Look, look, you tubby Tallulah.
What is it?
You've got something...
You screwy Shelley, what is it?
You've got something to say. Say it.
I've been swindled, that's all. And instead of having me playing the part I created, you go out and hire an old, broken-down, third-rate actor.
That was no actor. That was Jack Benny.
Well, I was available. Why get Jack Benny to play my part?
Well, you'll have to expect that sort of thing from here in, Bing. You're getting to the place where you have to step aside for the younger fellows, you know. Just nature did it to you.
I wished you wouldn't kid about this, Bob, because you've hurt me. You know, there's a code of ethics between friends. Partners should always be square with each other. There are things that one pal doesn't do to another pal.
I'm sorry, old paint. If you want, I'll turn in my Roy Rogers silver bullet.
I've tried desperately to hold up my end of this friendship, but, Bob, this little incident has served its purpose. Now I know your opinion of me, and I also know what you've been saying behind my back over there at Fairmont.
Well, what have I been saying? What?
I believe you told the head of the studio that I'm a lousy actor.
I never said that.
You didn't?
No, the only thing I said was, if they ever publish a who's who of talent, you'll be listed under F, father of Gary.
That's all. I've had it. Hello. If I get my umbrella, I'll go.
If you're so upset about Jack Benny playing your part, why didn't you put in a complaint before then?
I did. As soon as your show went off the air, I picked up the phone and I called the president of the company.
Oh, you went over my head.
Everything else does.
Let's not talk about intelligence. You didn't get a full issue of equipment either. Thanks for trying to knock me out of my job.
You don't have to worry about that, Bob. I would like to suggest a few changes.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Dad. Hold on here. Let's get this straight. On this show, I'm the boss. The only orders I take are from the chief at headquarters.
Oh, yes, and that reminds me. Your chief and I engaged in a gay foray about the golf links yesterday.
Yeah, he's a mean man with a nine iron,
isn't
he?
Well, yes.
Took me for 75 cents the other day.
75 cents? My, you bet like a Republican, don't you? Say, come to think of it, your superior and I locked up for a few bucks also.
No kidding. He took you too, huh?
No. As a matter of fact, he didn't.
No, you beat the sponsor?
Yes. To lapse into the vernacular of the pool room robber, I clobbered the boy.
Oh, and what did you win?
The company.
Oh, no, Bing.
Careful. Oh.
I mean, chief.
Yes, better. Of course, if you'd rather not, that vacancy on the laundry truck is still open, lad.
Oh, no. No, not that again. Took 2 years to win my honorable discharge from the diaper service.
Read on. Give it all the impact of your tinny but penetrating tones. Let me hear you.
The Technicolor picture starring Bing Crosby, Dorothy L'Amour, and Herman Schultz. Hey, what is this?
What?
Wait, there's no Herman Schultz in the picture. I'm the third star.
Check the latest release, chum. We had a new head dubbed in.
Oh, didn't you?
And here from Herman Schultz's picture is the ballad. To see you is to love you. And I see you everywhere, in the sunrise, in the moon glow, any place I look, you're there. To see you is to want you, and I see you all the time.
on a sidewalk, in a doorway, on the lonely stairs I climb. Someday, let me show you how happy endings start. You'll find how well I know you, 'cause to know you at all is to know you by heart. To see you is to love you, and you're never out of sight. And I love you, and I'll see you in the same old dream tonight. Someday, let me show you how happy endings start. You'll find how well I know you, 'cause to know you at all is to know you by heart. To see you is to love you, and you're never out of sight. And I love you, and I'll see you in the same old dream tonight.
Gee, Bob, doesn't Big sing beautifully? The music just pours out of him. No effort at all.
Oh, he doesn't have to make an effort, Terry.
Why not?
Well, 2 years ago, when they took out Bing's appendix, they installed a recording machine. He's the only singer in the business with a long-playing stomach.
Oh, my. It's typical of the lesser intellects to resort to flippant inanities when confronted with their literate superiors.
Why does it say that?
You know, Terry, there's a lot of people in show business ought to be selling vacuum cleaners, and here's a fellow with a nozzle for it, I might add.
Thank you, Herbert Hoover. Say, Terry, don't pay any attention to Flab. He's still sore because Jack Benny played his part last week.
Well, I certainly am, and I think you owe me an apology.
Well, I can see Bing's point, Bob. When you hired Jack Benny to play his part, well, you cast a certain reflection on Bing's ability.
That's beautifully said, Terry, and I thank you. I think I've earned a little consideration. I've done some heavy spade work in my day. I've hitchhiked to club dates. I've played split weeks in Watsonville, and I... some local connotation.
Yes, it's painted.
I think it's an artist colony, isn't
yes,
it?
I
even sang in
the localing watering spa place, I think. It's a spa.
I even sang with the ship's orchestra.
What ship was it? The Nina, the Pinta, or the Santa Maria? Columbus was crazy about
that. Now, is that a nice way to talk?
Hmm? Where do you come off with that Mr. Show business routine? What are you doing, selling crying towels on the side?
Bob, every word Bing said is true. I'm sure he worked many long years before he got a break at Paramount.
So what? Is he the only guy that's had it tough? I played those tank towns. I had to scuff with for the room rent. But I studied. I learned everything I could about show business, and finally they signed me. That's how I got into Paramount.
How touching. How lugubrious. I hate to debunk a beautiful fantasy, but that's not... That is definitely not how you got into pictures.
Oh, no?
No, when you got out here, you were a pool hustler from Cleveland. You were walking past that Paramount studio and you were knocked through the front gate by a 1926 Pontiac.
I have the only spine engraved with an Indian head.
Hey, now, why don't you two fellas stop this bickering?
It's gone beyond that, Terry. I don't have to take advice from a Nevada hillbilly.
Now, Bob.
Just because he's wearing shoes this week, he's mad with power.
You're satisfied, I suppose. Satisfied that you're 100% perfect.
Well, I do all right, Gramps. My schedule includes pictures,
Gramps.
Television, radio. And I've taken on the toughest stint of all, a morning show 5 times a week. And I do all this while you're out there in Elko sidestepping hot lizards.
I think I can handle anything you can handle, Pinky. That morning program, now, that sounds like it might be my type of work.
Oh, I'm sure the women would love you, Bing. I know I'd like to hear you on a morning show.
Oh, Terry, you've given me all the encouragement I need. Shall we dip into the matutinal killer cycles, huh?
Matutinal?
Yes, the morning.
Well, no smoking. Fasten your safety belt. There we go.
I don't even know what it means.
And now, ladies, it's time for another visit with your old friend, Just Plain Bing. Yes, it's time to meet the friendly philosopher whose wise words and homely sayings have endeared him to the hearts of millions. Here he is, the sage of Cedarville.
How are you, neighbors? This is Just Plain Bing. Leaning over the barnyard fence to have a chat with you.
So far, this thing could stand a shot of chlorophyll.
And now for today's story. Today's story is episode number 9,600,427,923. Chapter 7. Several months ago, a young couple moved to Cedarville, and so far they've had trouble fitting themselves into the life of the community. This disturbs our friendly philosopher very deeply, and right now we find him approaching the young couple's door.
Come in. Yes?
Hi, your neighbors. I'm Just Plain Bing.
Oh, glad to know you're Just Plain Bing. I'm Just Plain Bob. And this is my wife, Just Plain Terry. And this whole thing is just plain disgusting.
Very nice of you to drop in, sir.
Thank you, Mom. I'm just being right neighborly. You mind if I come in and set a spell?
Of course.
Sure, come on in. I'll try and find a spell big enough for your setter.
Now, I'll get right to the point. I understand you folks are having trouble getting acquainted with our Cedarville ways.
Yes, we are.
Well, now, Cedarville's a mighty fine place. You folks will find that most of the folks in this town are just plain folksy folks.
Oh, you won't find folks anywhere that are any more folksy than we folks.
I'm glad we laid in the supply of folks before the price went up.
Now, what seems to be a trouble in you youngsters?
Well, the whole town seems to be against us.
No.
Nobody will speak to us. Nobody invites us anywhere. We haven't any friends.
We're so lonely, we're getting care packages from Democrats.
Well, maybe I can help you young folks. My motto is, a good turn a day makes friendship whole sway.
Gee, that's keen, yeah, Lum. I can't wait to finger paint that on my sweatshirt.
It's too late to do anything for us. We've decided to move back to the city.
Well, now, I ain't the type to butt in on the folks' affairs, but the young couple across the street felt just the same way, and I helped them. I advised them to buy that gas station up on the highway.
Yeah, I heard about that. The gas station went bankrupt. The fella got desperate, stole a car, held up a bank, and now he's doing 20 years in Alcatraz.
Yeah, wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for me.
What would you advise us to do, Just Plain Bing?
Well, you folks ought to get out more. Mix with the other folks in the community. We have a social every Saturday. Big doings. Got taffy pulling for the old folks and dancing for the young folks.
Oh, sounds like fun. I haven't been to a dance since Arthur Murray gave me an honorable discharge.
Oh, if we could only go to that social and make friends. We hate to leave here because Bob has such a wonderful job.
Where do you work, son?
I'm the traffic manager at the fish hatchery.
Traffic manager?
Yeah, when the salmon swim upstream to spawn, I make sure none of their eggs get scrambled.
That sounds like a very responsible job.
It is. Robert has a wonderful head for fish.
That must look mighty good hanging on the wall of a seafood restaurant.
Now, you wait a minute.
Robert, he's a friendly old philosopher.
Yeah, well, he may get his friendly old teeth knocked down his friendly old throat.
Now, let's not get all head up. I gotta be on my way now, but I'll see that you're invited to our next social.
Oh, thank you.
Not at all. I believe in a good turn a day. A good turn a day drives the dark clouds away and makes fair play whole sway. I've done you a good turn, and now maybe you'll pass it along and do a daily good turn for other people.
Oh,
I'm all set for the next 5 years.
All thanks for the memory of the men here at Fort Ord who train with one accord to keep our might that holds the right to all the points we've scored.
And we thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, seeing all these wonderful GIs up here has served as a reminder to us. A reminder that men are training and fighting, yes, and dying for freedom. That's rough talk, but it's a rough war, and it's going on now, every day without intermissions. Those of us who are lucky enough to be wearing tweed instead of khaki have to remember that we can't afford to take a vacation from responsibility. Let's not forget, because those guys in the front line aren't forgetting. If they did, we'd be doing this show from that Kremlin next year for much less money. So that's why we're happy, along with Bing, Terry, Les Brown, and the boys, to get this chance to visit with these guys up here at Fort Ord. Good luck, boys, and thank you very much.
Brought to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
The Bob Hope Show on Tuned To Yesterday from the 14th of January, 1953 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned To Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.